Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles while you're sitting down. Turn to two passages. Actually, just go to Matthew 16 to start with and trust it'll be a blessing to you. Isn't church great?
Amen.
And it is. You know, we gather together. And God knew what he was doing when he ordained the church. We gather together. We see some of our best friends. We need fellowship. We're reminded of grace and we're reminded of mercy. And it's uplifting and it's happy and it's fulfilling. We're reminded of Jesus. We experience worship. We as a people of God experience growth. We experience evangelism. God made no mistake when he ordained the church. And we are certainly a blessed people. I think I mentioned this. I think it was the Watch Night service or the New Year's Eve service. One of our online listeners sent $1,000 to our building fund from down in the Holland area. God bless you. I know you're watching this morning. God bless you. And others have as well. And, you know, God just keeps blessing us. And I look back at the year 2021, and it was strange. It was. And in some ways, it was strained. But it didn't do this church any harm. I'll tell you that. This church was blessed of God. And we saw great growth and great evangelism. And we got to keep on stretching. Do you know that last Sunday morning, five people got saved here? You know the Sunday before that, two people got saved? Do you know that at Mike John Peoples' funeral, if there were 150 people there, and Bill and Josh both agree, there were about 150 people there. Hard to tell in a funeral home sometime. If there were that many people there, there were 50 professions of faith. Do you know after the funeral was done, we went to the Red Yard Town Hall, and I led more people to the Lord there? You know how good God is? Pastor Bill did a funeral this last week, and people were saved at that funeral as well. You know, God is just opening the doors. We've got to be obedient enough and have enough faith just to step through those open doors and allow God to bless. I want to preach. It'll probably be a little bit of a series. Here's where we're going in the next couple of weeks. This morning is the first. I'm preaching on the doctrine of the church. Some of it will be not new. For those of you that are new to the family of God, it will be new. But there's more there. There's something there for everybody. Next Sunday morning, I'm probably going to preach on the future of the church. And that'll be the sermon that's the sermon with vision and what we're looking for God to do in the year 2022. After that will be the coming world government, probably on the 19th. I cannot guarantee that they're all going to fall right in line like that. But the next, after I'm done with the church, I'm going to preach on the apostate church and the coming world government and all the brazen things that are being said, even in the secular media, like the whole world's accepting this stuff now. And I'm going to be preaching on that. And it isn't conspiracy theories. If it's in the Bible, it is not a conspiracy theory. I'm going to preach the word of God and what is before us here in this planet, in this world in which we live. So these are going to be some pretty exciting sermons. I expect that God is going to do some great things. Stand with me, please, and let me read Psalm 122, just two verses in Psalm 122, and I'm going to read a couple of more. And then we'll get over to where we want to be in Matthew 16 and the book of Acts as well. This is just introductory stuff, an introductory message. I want to be a Bible preacher. I want to preach good Bible doctrine. I want line upon line and precept upon precept. My goal is that when you leave the auditorium this morning, you'll have an even better understanding of the church. And what our part is, what your part is, and what my part is. But David loved the church. Old Testament, I know. Temple, I know. But he says in Psalm 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Verse 9, because of the house of the Lord, our God, because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. Go back to Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Get those Bible pages turning. Psalm 26 and verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Turn over to Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock. Now don't get overly pious and say, oh, that he was talking about the Old Testament temple. He's talking about the Old Testament tabernacle. I'm aware of that. But now we're in the New Testament. And now there's the New Testament local church. And we're going to make this transition here real quick. God, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Help me to be a good Bible preacher. And I want to be a teacher as well, but I want to be anointed. Lord, would you enable me? God, we need a breath from heaven this morning. It's a brand new year and there's so much to do and so many to reach. God in heaven, there are 7 billion people on this planet. Some are born again and they're taking a stand in other hemispheres and being martyred. I read just this week of the nation Nigeria and how more people have been martyred there this year than in any other country in the world. Thousands are literally being butchered for their faith in Christ. We as Americans in our administration have now taken them off the watch list. And God, that is a sad thing. Lord, help us to understand there's a battle and help us to understand, have better understanding of the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. I know up till this point we're hopping around. That's okay. It's just introduction. We want to get to where we want to go. But Matthew chapter 16 and verses 18 through 23. I'm just going to read verse 18 because I took a little longer already in this introduction. But I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't have time to exegete this scripture. Jesus is saying to Peter, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, little stone, and upon this rock, Petra, talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God is Jesus Christ is telling Peter, when Peter referred to Jesus as the Messiah, the very Son of God, he said, Peter, you didn't get that from man. You got that from God. And I want you to know something. I've come to build my church. This is a transition time. Calvary is about to take place. There's going to be 2,000 years of church history, and I will build my church. Go to Acts in chapter 1. Go to chapter 2 of the book of Acts. The book of Acts, it's a transition book, and it's a book about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ. And although inspiration and the book is completed and there's no new scripture, although all of that is finished, the story of the church is still being lived out. It is still going on. And real quickly, what Jesus says in chapter 1, what Luke says in chapter 1, and Christ is saying this through Dr. Luke, is I'm going to my Father, and he does go to the Father. He ascends on into heaven, and he says, you wait in Jerusalem. Look what it says in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He said, you wait, and I will empower you. You wait, and the Holy Spirit is going to descend. The Holy Spirit is going to come. 50 days after the resurrection, there was the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It was a one-time event, and the church was born in Acts and chapter 2. Let's read together verse 8, first of all, of chapter 1. But ye shall receive power, that's dunamos, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, you wait. I am sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. I am going to empower you, and the church is going to be born. Chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, 40 days after the resurrection, and 10 days of waiting, and 10 days of prayer in Jerusalem was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, the birthday of the church, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. That's just the old English word for language. Other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in chapter 2, 15 different nationalities are mentioned. So the gospel was preached miraculously in 15 different languages. This was the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's come. Let's skip all the way back, all the way towards the end of chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Please stay with me, all right? I want to share something big with you. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them, that's the church, about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Something special happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit birthed the church of Jesus Christ. They made an impact upon the city of Jerusalem, but it didn't stop there. It went to Judea, and it went to Samaria, and it went to all the regions under the uttermost parts of the earth. Something miraculous happened. It was the church. The church is God's idea. You got to know this. You aren't going to have a better idea than what God has. You've got to understand that. God has ordained the church. God has ordained the family. Listen to this. But the family is not the church. God has ordained the church. But the church is not the family. They are to work together. That's the plan of God. No local church will ever be stronger than the family units that make up that church. That's just the way God ordained the family. Go back to the book of Genesis. Read about the patriarchs and how God ordained the family. It was good. God ordered it. Adam and Eve, you're going to procreate. You're going to be male and female. You're going to procreate after your own kind, and you're going to replenish the earth. That was the plan of God. And then he gives instructions for the family. And then we come to the New Testament church. Of course, there was the temple, right? And the tabernacle, and then the temple. And then we come to the New Testament church, and God, this is God's idea. The church is God's idea. God ordained the church, not to replace the family. But the family cannot replace the church. You see, you can come up with all kinds of reasons for not attending church, but I'll give you one good reason to attend church. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Praise God for everybody that's watching by way of live stream. We got family sick this morning. You're watching live stream. Praise God for live stream. That's a wonderful thing. But don't get to the place where live stream is not your local assembly. It's not the church. There's a reason to that. So again, I want to say this. It's oversimplified, I know. And if you the deeper you dig into this, the more you're going to realize how strong this is. God's ordained the family, and the family is not the church. God's ordained the church, and the church is not the family. But God ordained both, and they're both to work together for the glory of God. One does not replace the other. You've got to understand it. You say, I can worship God in my home where two or three are gathered. By the way, that's not a church where two or three are gathered. That's a prayer meeting. Don't read into that text. You know, where two or three are gathered. But you say, I can worship God at home. That's wonderful. But you can't be church at home. You know, who are the missionaries you're sending out? And who's your pastors? Who's your deacons? And what kind of authority is there? Who are you reaching? What kind of outreach you got going? What about the fellowship where iron sharpeneth iron and how we need one another? That's all part of the church, all part of the plan of God. So let me say a few things about the church this morning. And know this, the devil is fighting with both fists against the church of Jesus Christ. The church is under direct attack, an insidious attack. And it's going on more and more, and it's going to happen more and more as the last days are approaching. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you heard just a little bit about that. And we don't have a lot of persecution here in America, at least not yet. And I don't know how much we're going to see before the trumpet sounds. Maybe none. That would be wonderful, because what little persecution we experience is nothing compared to the rest of the world. But there's insidious attacks upon the church. There are people trying to take away from the church of Jesus Christ. The devil's trying to destroy the church just like he's trying to destroy the family. The devil is trying to diminish the church just like he's trying to diminish the family. You can see it in our American culture. As the church drifts further and further from the Word of God, darker and darker becomes the culture of America. People are accepting things that they never would have accepted just a few years ago. So the New Testament church, the local church, and I'm a local church guy, is the substance of the purpose of God. As the church, I've seen this, as churches leave the Bible, there is a darkness and a paralysis that takes place in that church. And people are no longer being born again. Oh, I got to say this. I don't want to say this for anybody that might be listening. Anybody, we all have to be reminded of this. Because I went through this a little bit myself. There are good things, but they're still not the church. A Bible camp is not the New Testament local church. It should be a ministry of the New Testament local church, but that doesn't replace church. A Bible college is not a New Testament local church. It ought to be a ministry of a local church, but it cannot replace. You will not have a better idea than God. That's all there is to it. I think I'm just going to say it that simply. God has a plan. God has a will. And your idea is not better. You can argue about it. You can argue about all the reasons for not attending church and not being involved in organized religion. And it can be over-organized. And that's a big problem, too. It really is. But you can throw the baby out with the bathwater. But again, there's one good reason to attend church. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. God said so. Okay, let's talk about the church here real quick. My position. Take your Bibles and go to, I'm just going to quote some of this, so kind of shorten some of this up. My standing is in Christ. When you're born of God, you become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am not perfect, neither are you. 1 John chapter 1, he that says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. Let's go there together. Ephesians and chapter 2. Book of Ephesians and chapter 2. While you're turning there, I'm going to read two verses out of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with a washing of water by the word, talking about the church, that he might present it to himself, that it is the church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the fact is this, the church is not perfect here in this world. So you can find excuses for giving up on church, but if you're giving up on church, you're turning your back on God. Because the head of the church is Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 2, Ephesians in chapter 2 and verses 1 through 6. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. Go down to verse 5. For even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We are seated. This is my standing. I stand in Christ. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. You say, how is that possible? You're still here in this earth. Well, I haven't received my glorified body, but I know that I'm in Jesus because the Bible says 97 times in the New Testament, when someone gets born again, they are in Christ. The fact is, my hope and my surety and my security, it is all found in Christ. Take your Bibles and go to Ephesians and chapter, let's skip that. In Christ 97 times, heavenly places. We go to Ephesians and chapter 1. We read that again. But let's talk about the head of the church very quickly. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. I'm going to skip one of my points here this morning because I want to get to what I consider the meat, and I hope it is. So I'll repeat this. I am safe and secure and surrounded by God the Holy Spirit. I am saved by grace. I know the mercies of God. I have the blood of Jesus Christ has made atonement for my sin, and I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything I just said in that last paragraph, I can back up with Scripture. It's the Word of God. I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit, and when I got born again, I was baptized into the family of God. So I got the Holy Spirit all over me as the fingerprint of God is on my life. And there's nothing this world can do to take me away from God. Amen. Amen. Because I belong to him. That's my position. That's who I am. Matthew 16, verse 18, we already read it, so I'm just going to quote it. The purpose of the church is not an end in itself. This may shock you, but there is no hierarchy in the New Testament local church. I'm going to talk about the pattern of the church here in just a moment, but I simply want to say this as far as the purpose of the church. We're here to reach the world for Christ.
Right.
We're here to equip the brethren, but we're here to evangelize, number one. We're to get the gospel out to the whole wide world. There's an event coming up. I'm going to share it with you maybe next week about Phil, Michigan. And we're not alone in this. There are churches all over Michigan involved in this. Good, independent, Bible preaching, Bible practicing, evangelistic churches. And I'm excited about what's in front of us in the month of February. I'll just kind of throw that out to you. And you're going to learn about it as maybe next week comes about. If you're here next week, and I want you to be here so you can learn. Now listen, you may fail and you may stumble. But don't give up on the church. You may know of some people that have failed and stumbled and turned their back on God. But don't you give up on God's doctrine, on the church of Jesus Christ. This is a place of safety. Man, this is a place of security. This is a place of feasting on the word of God. This is a place of warm fellowship. This is a place where iron sharpens iron. This is a place where you put your arm around the brother or the sister that has fallen by the wayside and you help them grow in grace because you've been there already yourself. In our standing, in our position, we are in Christ. If you don't remember anything about what I've already preached, and I hope you remember what I'm going to end with, but if you don't remember anything about what I preached, 97 times in the New Testament, we are told that we are in Christ. So when God the Father sees me, he sees his only begotten Son. That's grace. That is mercy. I can think of two better words than grace and mercy to describe our standing. In spite of the fact that we still have wrinkles, Ephesians 5:26. We still have spots. We're still imperfect. We belong to God. So my standing, I'm secure, I'm safe in Jesus. My purpose, Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So what day of the week was your dad's funeral, Jeremy? Was it? I'm old and I forget. It's Tuesday? Tuesday. What a wonderful thing that was. So I'm standing in front of and this has happened several times in my ministry, many times in my ministry. The more funerals you do, the more these kinds of things happen. I led Mike John to the Lord years ago. Jeremy's gotten saved. Lacey's gotten saved, led them to the Lord. But, the family is the extended family, basically an unchurched family. What an opportunity. I was able to stand in front of them and tell them about Jesus and how they could know they're going to heaven. And I couldn't read their faces. I didn't know, if they were really open to what I was preaching or not, but what a soul harvest. If a third of those people got born again that day, and I have no way to count, no way of knowing, but if 50 people got saved, man, boy, was heaven shouting that day. You know it. And then to go to the dinner afterwards, and Lacey didn't always use all the right words. She said, Pastor, I need you to save my sister. I said, but I really can't do that, but I know one that can, And yeah, I know that. And so and she went to the, she said, I don't know if she's going to listen to you or not, but I'm gonna, so she goes and gets her out of the kitchen. She brings her out and says, Pastor, I want you to, she said it again, I want you to save my sister. And I said, well, where can we talk? And there's people all over. The only place, there's people in the kitchen and people in the hall. The only place that was left was a closet. So Lacey opens the door of the closet. It's a good sized closet, but it's still a closet. And I go in there and Lacey goes in there and his sister goes in there and I give to her the gospel and tears swell up in her eyes. Man, she's a sinner gloriously saved by grace and receives Christ as her savior. And man, we were rejoicing together. I know heaven was shouting again. I said, okay, now we're getting ready to come out of this closet and people, everybody's out there eating and we know some of them know we're in here. Some of them don't. So let's go out one at a time. That's a And so I opened the door and I looked and not too many people were looking. I said, okay, it's safe. And they all came out. What an opportunity. We have got to evangelize the world. That has to be done again and again and again and again. And I got more to preach, but that's where I'm going to end here this morning. It's this simple. I want you to think about this. Who in your circle, who in your life has not yet been born into the family of God? Man, you have got to reach them because time is running out. This is the year 2022. I can't believe it. It's even foreign to my ears to hear that. 2022. Time is slipping away. This is the soul harvest time. No doubt in my mind, this is the time right now that we're to reap, that the laborers are supposed to go into the fields that are white unto harvest and bring the souls to Jesus. That is what it's about. We have got to be serious about that. You know, the purpose of the church and the plan of the church is really quite simple. I'm going to preach some more here just a little bit, and I'm just going to summarize it. All right, you look up the Bible verses. New Testament local church is more of an organism than it is an organization. Sometimes we over-organize, and that's where denominations come from, and we make a mess of things. You know, this guy's got this power, and this guy's got this power, and we got this committee, and this level, and pretty soon it's like the U.S. government, and nothing ever gets done, and it's just a big hodgepodge and a mess. God said, the beauty is in its simplicity. He said, I'm going to organize New Testament local churches, and I'm going to put bishops, pastors, and elders. All three terms are used interchangeably in the New Testament. I'm going to have an under-shepherd there. And he's going to lead the flock. And it's not a power position. And it's not a dictator. But he's going to lead the flock, and it's going to be unusual because the Holy Spirit is going to empower it. Because otherwise, you'd have to have people sign up and have a big stick, you know, and everybody wear a certain uniform, and that's how you control a crowd. But it's not going to be that way. The Holy Spirit is going, it was designed in the mind of God. It was provided by the Son of God on Mount Calvary, and then he rose again, and it's going to be empowered by the church. And I'm going to take sinners saved by grace, and I'm going to call them to preach, and I'm going to put them over different flocks, and they're going to lead. I'm going to give them some helpers. We're going to call them servants. That's the Bible word for deacon, all right? Doulos. And their job is to help those pastors. And you get a whole lot more organized than that, and you end up getting politics. And there is no hierarchy in the New Testament Church of Christ. That's just simply put. There's no regional bishop. You don't find that in the Word of God. There were apostles, and those 12 men are gone. And then he said, there's the church. And there's going to be shepherds, pastors, bishops, elders, whatever you want to call them. Every one of those titles have a purpose. I'm going to give them helpers. We're going to call them deacons. And you're going to evangelize the world. You're going to equip the saints, Ephesians chapter 4, and you're going to evangelize the world. And you're going to stay at it until the trumpet sounds. And this is the best part. I hope I can somehow wrap this up right here. We're not going to leave this world with our tail between our legs. Not if we're honoring God. If we're willing to be the New Testament local church that stands upon the rock of Scripture, we understand. By the way, I have an anchor. This is my anchor right here. It's not the culture. I have an anchor right here. Right. I have heaven's book right here. Here's the owner's manual. Here's the marching orders right here. It really is that simple. And if we'll honor God, and we'll be faithful to God, and we'll be that Philadelphia church in the year 2022, and if this is the year that Jesus comes, and it very well could be, then if we'll be in the saddle when the trumpet sounds, we're going to leave this place in victory. We're not going to leave with our tail tucked between our legs in defeat. The trumpet's going to sound at the sound of the trumpet, at the voice of the archangel. We're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church. That's part of the future of the church. That's part of next Sunday morning's message. But I got more for the church after that, before that, and after it. And trust that God is going to bless. Okay, here's the deal. Who do you know that's not born again? Who do you know that is not saved? Stop playing games. Stop playing footsie with the world. You're going to dry up if you do that. Instead, fall in love with Jesus. There are people here this morning that love Jesus. I know it. I know that Bill loves Jesus. Man, you get news like that from a doctor, that you straighten up. You know, you start, you know what? We don't have long in this world. None of us have long on this earth. Time to serve God. So here's what we're going to do for the altar call. You got to come back next week to know all the plans. But come to the altar and pray for people that you know are not born again. Pray for their souls. Listen, whisper their name at the throne of grace. God will use His Holy Spirit. Those people can be reached.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.